music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
We're joined by an amazingly talented dancer who's performed alongside Ricky Martin, Babyface, Deborah Cox, as well as Michael and Janet Jackson. Nikki Pantenberg has a lot to say about her time with Janet, what rehearsals were like, being on the road, and why Janet is pretty much the best boss ever. We also welcome music producer Dem Joints, who's worked on Dr. Dre's latest album, Compton, and is a huge part of Janet's new album, Unbreakable. Dem talks about being in studio with Janet and how he was afraid to talk to her in a good way. We're very happy to have this next artist as a guest on our show. She's danced for some incredible entertainers throughout her career, including Ricky Martin, Babyface, Deborah Cox, Michael Jackson, and of course, her long-standing tenure with Janet Jackson. Nikki Pantenberg, a.k.a. Nicole Edmonds, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We are so happy to have you on the show, especially because there's a lot of people, I think, that have been waiting to hear from you because it's been a minute since we've heard from you. So we're very happy to have you on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm honored. Thank you.
So before we get going into your life with Janet, if we can call you that or call it that, I wanted to start off by asking how you actually started in dance as a kid.
Oh, wow. Well, I started when I was three. I guess my mom noticed that I used to love dancing around the house and put me in classes. So I was doing ballet and tap, and As I grew up, I was doing jazz and hip hop, and I just enjoyed it so much that I continued with my dancing. I went through, dance school, different dance schools, and I was involved in a lot of competing dance teams and so on and so forth. And by the time I was nine, I was with a dance team that we used to do gigs for, like Sally Struthers and, Merv Griffin and stuff like that. So we used to get paid to go and dance, to do charity shows and TV shows and things like that. And I just really enjoyed it. It was a passion of mine, and I just wanted to be there all the time in a dance studio. So my mom was so great, and she drove me everywhere from Orange County to Los Angeles to Downey, everywhere, so I could learn from the best and take classes from the best. And it paid off when I got older and I got an agent, and then the rest is history. I was able to make a career out of it and had a great one. That's that.
Now, when you were growing up, who would you say was like a dancer or a choreographer that you looked up to the most? Like, who was your Michael Jordan kind of thing?
You know, I think I didn't really know choreographers and, dancers when I was little. I think I would just kind of, like, I loved watching Michael Jackson dance, but I had no clue who was behind it all, until I got older. But, I was able later on to work with Travis Payne, and I just enjoyed taking from a bunch of different choreographers and learning my way through it. So I didn't really have, as a dancer, I just enjoyed dancing so much. It didn't matter who, what, I just wanted to do it.
What would you consider your first big break?
Let's see, my first big break, which started kind of everything as far as getting an agent, a dancing agent and everything, was Johnny Gill. I was asked to do a tour with him. There was a tour called the Triple Threat Tour, and it had Keith Sweat, Johnny Gill, and Belle Biv DeVoe. And Johnny Gill was looking for dancers, and I happened to be at the right time, place at the right time. I was asked to do it, and I was 17 at the time. So I had to have a guardian on the road with me, but that was my big break. And then after that came Janet, and Janet was my biggest,
Now, if I've done the math correctly, I think both you and Kelly sort of started dancing for Janet around 93. How did you actually get that job? Like, how did it come to you, or how did you audition for it?
Well, we got a call from the agency and said they're throwing a big audition for Janet. Was going to be huge because not only were they doing it in Los Angeles, they were doing it in other cities as well. I actually was a little intimidated and, wasn't sure if I was even going to go because I was actually working on that day. I had another job that I was doing that I had to be at. And I was kind of contemplating, well, do I go? I don't know. There's going to be a lot of people. You know, it's just kind of one of those things. And then my mom was like, no, you better go, you know, give it a shot. So I went and ended up being asked to stay, you know, because they have their little process of auditions. You usually go, you learn a number that they teach you, and then they do their cuts, and then, you know, the next group stays, and then they do another cut. And so I actually made it through, you know, the first day, but that the initial audition was kind of like a 4 or 5 day process. And they had us come in and audition at least 3 or 4 times. They even had an interview process where we came in and we met Janet and Renee at the time, and they interviewed us. You know, they wanted to make sure that they were, you know, picking the right people, I guess, for a huge tour, you know, as we did. And so the process was, you know, it was a little bit stressful, I guess. But at the end of the day, it made it so much, you know, such a great surprise when, you know, I finally got the call from my agent. I was actually at the nail salon getting my nails done. And she called and said, you know, are you sitting down? And she told me I got the job. And I don't know what I did, but I think I had a big reaction because everybody's staring at me. But it just made that moment so much bigger because we had, you know, we went through so much, you know, so many days and so much of a process before you even were chosen. And, you know, and they only chose, you know, a few people from this huge auditions that they threw. So it was a big honor for sure.
Was that where you first met like Tina Landon and Kelly Kono? Is that and Seanette? Was that that sort of initial? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. That was my first time dancing for Tina, actually. And she's, you know, I have her to thank for it all. Cause she, you know, she was the one that saw me and, you know, it was on her too, you know. I know Janet made the final decisions, but, you know, she had a big part of it as well.
Now, if we sort of remember back to 93, I don't know if you remember this, but they I know like Janet's people put out this collection of videos from the Janet tour. Yeah. And then there was like the behind the scenes part of it, which I think all the Janet fans love watching. And we saw you guys, you know, in rehearsal and working your butts off. What do you remember the most from that time period? Like, what was it like being part of such an iconic album, which people still talk about over 20 years later?
Well, you know what? I think at the time we really didn't realize how iconic it was, you know, until years later when you look back and you're like, oh my God, you know, we were amongst such a great period, you know, for dancers and everything. So we didn't really realize it in doing it. I mean, I just remember, you know, loving going to rehearsal. I mean, it was such a, you know, since it was a passion of mine and just, I love to perform and, you know, it was being around the same people all the time and we all got along and it was just fun. You know, I just remember it being fun. I was maybe 18 or 19 at the time when I started. So it was still, you know, kind of a new thing for me. So I was just enjoying it, taking it all in. You know, when we were rehearsing, you know, it was, you know, long days, you know, it was tiring, but, you know, we would get up the next day and go at it again. But we really, you know, just really enjoyed it. And, you know, Janet was awesome. I mean, she just kind of took us everywhere. I mean, we got to go to Hawaii and rehearse, you know, who does that, you know? So we got to, you know, enjoy a little bit of Hawaii and then work hard at the, you know, and so, and then she would take us on these great vacations and, you know, we would be able to just hang and do fun stuff. So it was like we were a family. So I just remember, you know, it feeling like a family and being a part of, I guess I knew that she was big. I knew that, you know, it was such a, you know, a big deal for us to be dancing for Janet. And so we just enjoyed it, and she was great, and she made every single day, you know, that we were there enjoyable. So
I wanted to ask you this because I believe I asked Kelly this question or a version of it, and I wanted to get your sense from a fan standpoint, like especially fans that have been with Janet, quote unquote, for a long time and have watched all of you that have danced with her. I feel that there is a definite special chemistry that goes on between you and Tina and Kelly and Sean, especially because you guys were able to carry over for this, like the Velvet Rope tour. Did you guys know that? Like, do you feel like there's just this magic between the four of you plus, you know, adding Janet into that mix?
Like I said, you know, I feel it now. We were very close when we were together and dancing together. Plus, you know, we Kelly and I were roommates with Tina. We all lived together amongst, you know, both tours. So we were together a lot, and we worked together not just on Janet videos and tours and things like that, but it kind of trickled into other things. You know, when Janet wasn't doing anything, and we were working on other stuff, you know, Ricky Martin or TV shows here and there, you know, a little video for Deborah Cox, or, you know, we all kind of stayed together. And so I think that just brought us closer together. And like I said, it was like family, you know. So I guess we've come together, we've kind of reached out to each other, and we've been getting together, and, you know, we do feel that magic now. It's like, it was an awesome feeling, but we didn't really know it was happening at the time. You know, we were just kind of being a family and being close and working together, and we just liked being around each other. So, but now it's like, when you look back and you're like, oh, you know, what memories we have, it's like, it does become magical. You know, we actually were just all together. Unfortunately, Kelly couldn't make it, but we just did, Tina, myself, and Seanette, we did a class, where we taught, I Get So Lonely, to raise some money for a dancer, who is fighting lupus. And, so many people came out, and it was just, we haven't danced together for so long, but it was so much fun. And it just brought back so much memories. And, you know, a lot of people came out just to learn this classic choreography that Tina did. And so it made us really happy. It made us, you know, the magic came through, you know, a couple of days ago when we did this, for sure.
Was it, when you guys sort of, the three of you got together and did that choreography together, did it come right back, or did it take a minute to get your vibe down?
You know, it took a minute, because we had to kind of relearn it off of, some of the, videos that we have. And, but once we got it, then it came back, and the feelings came back, and the movement came back. And I was just, you know, when we were dancing together, it just felt so good, because, you know, even though we haven't danced together for a long time, when we did get it and we were dancing together, you just, we're still very together. You know, that was one thing that Tina, her choreography, she worked us so hard that we all just looked so in unison all the time. So it was just funny to kind of come back to it. And, you know, as we're doing it, we're just looking at it like, wow, we still look really good together. You know, we still feed off of each other. We still watch each other, you know, so everybody looks the same. So I think sometimes dancers don't necessarily look at those details, but we were taught to do that. So it was just fun to see that again.
Now, as we talked about off the top, you danced on the Janet album tour, and also on the Velvet Rope tour. I'm sure both of them are very special to you, but if you had to pick which tour, you know, are sort of sat with you the best, or which one were you the happiest to be a part of?
Oh, goodness. That's a hard one, because I mean, both tours were so, so great to be a part of. I'm going to say Velvet Rope. I think, again, it's so hard. I mean, I don't even know if I'm choosing correctly, but, you know, I think, you know, both of those tours were so, so great. I mean, the people were so great. I'm going to say Velvet Rope, because I really liked some of the things that we, you know, were able to incorporate in the, you know, the tour itself, the big storybook that opens, and, you know, there was just like, I Get Lonely was part of that. There was some great moments that we were able to kind of include. So additionally to the Janet stuff, Janet, for me, that was the, you know, being so young and being able to tour and being a part of something like that, you know, you just, I don't know, you're on cloud nine, you know, as a dancer, you know, that's what you hope for. You know, that's what dancers strive to actually, you know, be able to dance for someone like that. And, you know, and then the velvet rope, it kind of settles in a little bit, and you're like, okay, you know, this is, you know, I like this, you know what I mean? This is fun. I can do this now. I should start saving some money. So, you know, it's like, you don't go and spend it all. You know, I think when you're 19 and you're on the road and you're making money and you're, you know, like, oh, let's go shopping. You're like, oh gosh, I need to, you know, reel it back in a little bit on the second. So it was thankful to have the chance to do that again was awesome.
Speaking of being on the road, what was the best part and the worst part of being on tour, especially because I know the Janet tour went on for a long time. Like it was you, right. I think you actually went into 3 calendar years, if I've done the math correctly. And obviously, yeah, the Velvet Rope was a fair chunk of your time too. So what's the best and worst part of being on the road?
I think the best part is, you know, being able to travel and to see the world, be able to meet other people, to see different countries, you know, to be around, you know, each other and a family, and, you know, doing something you love to do. I mean, that's the best part, I think, about that. But the worst part is, you know, not being home and being able to spend time with your, you know, immediate family. And, you know, there's, you know, hard to have a relationship when you're on the road. You don't get to see each other. Missing holidays, you know, sometimes missing birthdays. That was kind of hard, but you know, we still have your other family, and you still have people there for you. It's just, you know, you get homesick. So I think that's the worst part about it.
I actually asked this of Tina a while ago, and I'll get your take on it. She said that when she comes off tour, it takes her like a minute to sort of reorient herself to actually being home and being part of like her regular family and regular life, because you're just so used to traveling out of a suitcase. And like you said, you've got your road family. Did it take you a bit of time to sort of, no matter which tour you were on, to sort of come back down to earth a little bit?
Yeah, it does. You have to, you know, takes a minute to snap back into reality, because, you know, it's like you're living a fantasy world, you know, on tour, and, you know, everything's paid for, you're traveling here, you know, and, you know, we were traveling with Janet, so, you know, we had it good, you know. So when you've come back and you're, you know, as a dancer, you're still trying, you know, you still got to work, you still got to think of, well, you know, what's my next gig going to be, you know, because once that tour ends, that's it, you know, you don't know if you're going to be going on to the next one, or you don't know what other job. So it's back to auditioning, it's back to, you know, trying to get that next job. So your reality kicks in, and it is a little hard to kind of, you've had such a good run, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, that's it, what do I need to do? So it does take a minute to you know, but you got to fight, you know, you got to fight, and you got to do it, you know, so that you can keep going, because if you don't, then, you know, you might just kind of sit down and, you know, get depressed, because you're like, oh gosh, I don't know if I like this, you know. I like being on the road and being around friends and performing, and, you know, but, you know, it was hard for me. You know, I was kind of on the first tour when I got back. That's when I actually moved out of my family home, and I actually moved in with Tina. So that was kind of a transition for me as well. And then, you know, we lived together for a long time, and then, you know, then the Velvet Rope tour came, and then after we came back from the second tour, I was ready to buy a house, and, you know, so it was kind of, there are those little transitions, you know, that you do when you come back, not really knowing what your next job is going to be, because it could have been another tour, which it was for me, because I went on to do Ricky Martin. So, you know, it just takes a minute to adjust to real life.
Now, you've danced with some incredible artists, as we mentioned off the top, like you just mentioned, Ricky Martin. I know you did some work with Michael Jackson, Deborah Cox, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
What makes Janet different from everyone else? Or is there not a difference? But I feel like there probably is.
There's a big difference, for sure. I mean, Janet, from day one, there's a different feeling you get with Janet. We, as a dancer, you know, we felt... she just kind of made us feel so important. You know, how do you explain? We were the kids, you know what I mean? And she made us important, I think. And she was so generous, you know, in doing all the things that she does over and beyond just working for Janet. I mean, taking, like I said, taking us on on trips and you know, even on the road, we would go out and, you know, she would just always have us with her. Not every artist does that. Not every artist is so personal like Janet. You know, she was cool. She would, you know, it was fun to hang out with her. She was silly, you know, we could play games. We, you know, do sleepovers in the hotel rooms, you know, we just don't get that from every artist. Not every artist is that personable. And, you know, I think, and also being with Janet on the road is different than when you're working at home with an artist that you don't really get to spend that much time with, you know. You only see them at rehearsal and maybe for that gig. You know, it's a different dynamic when you're actually on the road and become a family for so long. So she's a special. She's just so sweet, and she treated everybody with, you know, respect and love, and, you know, and she made everybody feel important. So that's the difference, I think.
I wanted to get you to describe in one word, or the first word that comes to mind when I say some names to you. So I'm going to start with who I think is one of your best buddies, Kelly Kono.
Oh, one word. How do you sum this up? She's joy. Joy.
Seanette Hurd.
Silly.
Omar Lopez.
Oh, gosh. Omar. I want to say grungy. Grungy. Omar.
That's awesome.
I love Omar.
Tish Oliver.
Oh, Tish is just, I want to say silly for her, too, because she just always made me laugh.
And Tice DiOrio.
Tice, you know, everybody, whenever I hear those names, I just want to say silly, because everybody was so silly and so funny and, you know, just so much fun to be around. And, I want to say silly as well, because he always made me laugh. Always.
I have to ask about Tina because, well, I'm not going to make you to describe the first word, but I wanted to say this. When I was doing some research about you and for us to do this interview today, I actually came upon a Facebook post that you tagged Tina in like several months back. And you had a link to Janet's That's the Way Love Goes. And then you said, the start of a blessed and fulfilling dancing career. Thanks, Tina Landon, for seeing something in this little girl. What does Tina Landon mean to you?
Tina, to me, I feel that Tina kind of, you know, it was a start of a career for me. Like I said, Janet was the biggest break I think I had in my dancing career and started a, you know, gosh, a 10-year run, a career in dance that, you know, not all dancers can say they've had. It's a struggle all the time. But because of Tina and because of our friendship, I was able to keep a career, you know, consecutive career with dancing because she just kind of took me and, you know, whenever she was doing a gig or, you know, anything that she was working on, you know, she would always bring me in as well as Kelly, I think, and as well as Seanette and, you know, and whenever she could and she had that authority to do so, she would always make sure we were right there with her, and she kept me working and working and working. So Tina, just to me, you know, I owe her that, you know, I owe her everything because she kept me working in this stressful and, you know, career that, you know, I chose to do, but it was because of her that, you know, I was able to keep it consistent, you know. Of course, I've worked with other choreographers, but I think Tina's probably was the one choreographer I worked with the most, and she was, you know, she was kind of like my big sister. You know, I lived with her. You know, she kind of taught me, you know, how to be on my own, and I learned a lot of things from her. You know, just being on my own, because I went from my parents' house to living with her and being on my own and so I learned a lot from her. She's a smart girl, that one.
Now, as you and I actually record this interview today, Janet's going to be performing her first tour date for her brand new Unbreakable tour, which will, you know, kick off in Vancouver in actually a couple hours. As someone who's been in this position where you have been on opening night with Janet for the Janet tour, the Velvet Rope tour, what are some of the new dancers feeling right now? And what do you remember the most about, like, your first tour dates, like, with Janet?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm sure they're excited. I'm sure, you know, they've got butterflies. You know, you work and work and work so hard up until this moment. You know, you put in months of rehearsals, hours of rehearsal, you know, to, you know, and finally it all comes together. It's like, you know, it's a huge rush, a huge rush. So I do remember, you know, that feeling is of just, you know, your hard work is now you get to show it, you know, now you get to perform for the world in a sense. But I'm sure they're so excited and they, you know, it's a long time coming, you know. It's always a great feeling, and I don't know if that feeling ever really goes away, because every time you perform in a different city, you always get those butterflies. You always get that rush right before you go on stage. And that is something that I miss, you know, because that is, you know, to perform for thousands of people, you know, and, you know, having everybody out there, you know, screaming and rooting for you. And, you know, it's like, because we felt the love from the fans as well, you know, even though they're huge Janet fans, they were also huge dancing fans, you know, so they're out there watching the dancers as well. So it just all comes together, and you know, you can't really describe that feeling. It's until you're up there and you see it, you know, and you feel it. But I'm sure they're excited for sure.
I asked this of the other dancers, and I wanted to get your take too, on the dance that you wanted to bash your head in the most when you were learning it. Because first of all, I have to say this, and I know that my Janet fans that listen to this show will agree with me when I say that you are just, like, you're such a fluid dancer. You're so, like, you know, and all the different styles that you do, and maybe it's because you mentioned you did all those different styles when you were growing up, you're just so fluid, right? So you just look like you're walking on air when you're dancing. But which choreography did you want to rip your hair out, or was it all good for you?
Oh no, Black Cat. When we performed Black Cat, I wanted to rip my hair out. That one was really hard and physically hard. So, you know, that was the one for me. That was it for me. I mean, I love everything else, but you know, when we're doing jumps and, you know, it takes a lot out of you. And so that the Black Cat for me, for sure.
Did you guys enjoy Throb as much as we all did with regards to the Velvet Rope tour? Because, you know, and anybody who got the DVD for the HBO special, it just looked like you guys were having so much fun doing that freestyle moment. Was that as much fun as we thought it was?
Oh yeah, for sure. It was definitely fun. Even fun to watch, you know, everybody else go up there and do a solo. You know what I mean? It was always, what are they going to do tonight? What, you know, so that was, it was always fun. Definitely.
I'm not sure when the last time it was that you actually spoke to Janet, but if you could actually speak to her today as she sort of embarks on this new tour and the album's coming soon, what would you want to say to her?
Oh gosh, I would want to say I wish you luck, you know, and it's so nice that she's back. I'm so excited. I'm going to go see the show, because, you know, I'd like to see it. I want to see her succeed again. You know what I mean? I want her, you know, to be on top of the world again. So I would just say good luck. You know, I love you, and thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Nikki. And I know that people can actually follow you on Instagram, which is NicoleEdmonds14. And on behalf of all the Janet fans, if I can put them on my shoulders for just a second, I want to say thank you, because we really appreciate everything that you've done over the years, doing such a great job.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That is Nikki Pantenberg again, a.k.a. Nicole Edmonds. And again, follow her on Instagram, NicoleEdmonds14.
Find us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Click on KellyAlexanderShow.com.
We are very happy to welcome an amazing artist to the show. He's worked with everyone from Dr. Dre to Rihanna, Kendrick Lamar, Christina Aguilera, and now Janet Jackson. Dem Joints is a fantastic songwriter and music producer, and we welcome him to the Kelly Alexander Show. Dem, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Yeah, appreciate you having us. Having me, should I say.
Exactly. Now, I wanted to kick things off by asking if you were, you know, a musical child. Did you have music in your blood right from the start?
Yeah, the music actually flows through the family. I was born and raised in the church, and I used to play drums.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, and then did you learn other instruments really quickly?
Not quickly. I guess, you know, as I went on to do music, I did.
And do you have a preference? Yeah. Like, does one particular instrument sort of call to you the most?
probably the drums more so.
Okay. Excellent. That explains your awesome beats.
You know, I play drums first, so yeah.
Now, who did you look up to musically when you were growing up?
Who did I look up to? Dr. Dre was one of the guys I actually looked up to.
Okay.
So working with him was like kind of like a dream. Who else? Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. of course. It's a lot of different people.
Do you find that you have a lot of different styles that you've liked? Because I imagine as a producer, you don't just like one thing. You probably pull from a lot of different influences.
Oh, yeah. My palette is pretty wide now. So it goes from alternative to, you know, like rock, to oldies rock, you know what I mean? Hip hop, of course, R&B, you know what I mean? All kind of different things. And now starting to listen to a little EDM and all kind of little different stuff. So, yeah. It goes all over the place sometimes.
How would you describe yourself as a producer? Like, do you have a set way that you like to work, or are you very sort of go with the flow?
I'm definitely go with the flow. Never think about, you know, what's going to happen. It all has to do with the moment and the vibe and, you know, what just comes to me, I guess you can say.
And what do you feel is your main responsibility when you sit down with an artist to record new material, like especially if you don't know the artist, like how do you start vibing?
I guess it just has to do with how determined we are to try and create something, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. My whole thing is let's just try to deliver something today. Maybe it's a foundation of just a great song, you know what I mean? That's what I try to do.
What would you consider as your first big break in the industry that opened like other doors for you?
My first big break, I would say just being heard. I started off when things really started bubbling, being signed to Bangladesh. And I also worked under Alex the Kid with Candace Palais. So those two individuals gave me a lot of opportunities. Gave me the experience to work with known, you know, bigger known acts and everything, and just getting in with them. I think that was my shot.
Now, as we mentioned, and as you just mentioned, you've worked with bigger artists like the Rihannas of the world, Christina Aguilera, Dr. Dre, now Janet. Why do you think these artists are coming to you? Because obviously they don't mess around. They've got serious careers to consider. So what do you think makes you stand out from the crowd?
I think because my sound is unique. And it's not the regular as to what you would hear nowadays. I don't know how long the trending sound's going to last. And since I'm kind of opposed to that, I think they are as well. So, you know, it's like a fresh air type situation.
Can you tell us, because I am so fascinated by the fact that you got to work on Dre's latest album, Compton. So how did that all come about?
I started off, well, I was working with Marsha Ambrosius, and I was just pretty much doing records, maybe in that vein, not necessarily sure that it was going to get to Dr. Dre, mm-hmm. but when I got in with Marsha, we used to work, you know, we work a lot anyway, and I had a specific idea that I needed her to get on, and that's how it all started. She heard a hook. She didn't tell me what the hook was. She went in the booth, and she just went on and laid it. And it was incredible. She took it over to the A&R, Ty Cannon, at Aftermath, and rest is history from there.
What was it like when you first met him? Because had you met him before you started working with him, or was it all brand new?
I met him before. It was like a handshake real quick. You know, how you doing? I'm a big fan. But nothing like when I actually got a chance to talk to him. It was surreal. I still, to this day, I can't believe that happened. But it was great.
What's it like to work with Dre in the studio? Because I've read a bunch of articles where it sounds like he's very nice, but like very intense in the studio. So how does that roll?
Oh, yeah. You got to be confident in what you're doing. No, but I was all for it. It's challenging. It's motivating. More so, it's inspiring. You learn so much. You learn things about yourself that you didn't even realize. And it's just hard work and it's I don't know, it's every day is a challenging, inspiring situation. It was fun. I was sad that the project was done, had to come to an end, but we're still working on a few other things. So I'm still there, you know, working on a few things. It's surreal.
How long did it actually take you to get your part of the project done, Dem? Because I know like you've worked on several tracks, including the one with Kendrick.
Those specific songs I actually did on my own. And I turned them in. They were like skeletons. So throughout, I would say quarter of the way, pretty much.
Okay.
Didn't take too long.
Okay.
Yeah. He spends time with his records, but then you think he has the whole album that he has to do, so.
I read an article about Dre saying that he was very inspired by the movie, obviously, and that sort of made him want to create this album. Did you get to watch the movie early on as well, or did you sort of have to just sort of go with your gut?
Yeah, he was trying to show us the movie, and you know, it's crazy because he did end up showing us the movie, but he was explaining the scene, so I didn't get a chance to see it, which was good because I didn't really want to see it until we actually got into a bigger format, like a theater or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that premiere that I attended, that was the first time I actually got a chance to really see the movie. But yeah, every time he played the movie, I would kind of cover my eyes and walk past. I didn't want to spoil the moment.
Now, can you tell us, with regards to the work that you did on the Compton soundtrack, which is obviously proving to be very successful, it's critically acclaimed, so many people love what you guys put together. Do you have a track that you actually like really love, or are they all your babies?
They're all my babies, but it all depends on the time. Like, you know, sometimes I have this specific song as my favorite, and then it'll switch over. Like when the album first came out, it was Genocide, then it switched over to Satisfaction, and then I like other songs on the album, like Talk About It or, you know, Issues. It just all depends. Like the whole album is a classic, so.
Joining us on the show is music producer, songwriter, Dem Joints. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Dem Joints and, of course, on Instagram at Dem Joints as well. So here's the deal. So many people are ecstatic that Miss Janet Jackson has made her return to the music scene. And obviously you are all over that Unbreakable album. So I want to start off by asking you, when did you actually get the call to work with Jimmy and Terry and Janet?
Zach Katz connected the meeting between me, Jimmy Jam, and Terry Lewis. And when I went in to press play for him, we actually hit it off immediately. And I was there for a while, so they let me know that they was going to actually use me for the project right away. It was just a matter of them, you know, situating what they want to do in terms of their ideas and just bringing me in on it. But I mean, just like they explained, it's going to take just a few days for that to happen. And that's all it took, a few days. I was in there.
Wow. So when did that go down, Dem? Was that like in 2014 or earlier this year?
Oh, that was this year.
Okay.
That was this year. Yeah. They had a lot of those records already done. They had like the skeleton of a lot of the records done. Like for an example, Unbreakable,
mm-hmm.
Which they did. I think it was Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, and Tommy, if I'm not too much mistaken. But the skeletons of the records were pretty much already done. No Sleep the same way.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and when I came in and I heard all these different things, I heard so much things I can add on to it. So they just let me go.
That's amazing. And was all of this done like in Los Angeles?
Yes, in terms of what I contribute was in Los Angeles, yes.
Okay. Now, was there, once they sort of had these skeleton tracks for you, was there like a specific plan? Or it sounds like they, like you said, they let you go. Did you feel really free as to what you could contribute to these tracks?
Oh, yeah. I certainly did. And then once I got into that, and then it was time to turn in my own ideas, you know, it was, you know, since the foundation was laid based off of what I was already doing with them, it was easier for me to figure out what I was going to do when I created, what I was going to do from scratch.
Okay.
Like, especially like Damn Baby and Burn It Up. Jimmy Jam actually told me, they were interested in the idea with the White Horse record. And so when he told me that, just based off of me working with them and knowing how they tick now, I was like, you know what, I got it. Let me see if I can turn this idea, you know. And the first idea I gave them, they fell in love with.
Actually, I wanted to ask you a little bit about Burn It Up, because so many people just love that track, like love it. We love that we see you in a cameo appearance at the beginning of the lyric video. So I think like the bass line and the drums are just sick. Like, how did that all come together, and was Missy Elliott always going to feature on that track?
They already had the idea of Missy being on that track. They just wanted the foundation of the beat. So as soon as I made the beat, as soon as I made them the beat, they went in. They helped arrange, and then, you know, like I said, they already had the idea of Missy getting on the record. So that's all they needed was the record, pretty much.
That's amazing.
And so then they made the connection with Missy. By the time I got to it, the song was already pretty much done. Like, I was amazed. I was like, yo, this is sounding crazy. I knew it was going to be huge.
Well, I wanted to ask you that. So you guys, do you know them? Do you know when you're doing stuff like, do you get a gut feeling? Like, how does it work for you where you know it's going to blow up? Because this song is just ridiculous. It's sick.
When I made the beat, I kind of knew it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because I wrote the first half, the first verse with that beat, and I kind of was stuck with the hook. And sometimes it's like when the song to me is so good, I don't want to mess it up by doing something I'm second guessing. So that's when I gave them the record. I think Missy wrote the hook out. But it's just like while I was even doing that, with the scratch of the track and the first verse, it's like you get this feeling like, I think they're going to like this. And if they do, you just imagine how big it's going to be, because already it's like, it's amazing how you can create the energy that everybody else is feeding off of once they hear it. Because you already feel the energy firsthand because you're making the record. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm so honored to be able to speak to someone who created that beat. So high fives from here because it's amazing.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
If I've done the math right, you worked on 7 songs that made it onto the album, including, Burn It Up, Damn Baby, Should Have Known Better, No Sleep. Do you have a favorite song, or are they, again, like all your babies? Or does one sort of really stick out to you like, this is my jam?
They're all my babies. They are all my babies, and I love those songs dearly. But my favorite song on that album is Broken Hearts Heal.
Really? Okay, great. Tell me why.
I think it's that classic Janet Jackson. When that hook come in, you know how when you hear certain things and it just give you the chills?
Mm-hmm.
Like her vocals on anything give me the chills anyway. But I don't know. It's just that song reminds me of the classic Janet.
Now, speaking of Janet, what was it like when you first met her? When did you first meet her?
I think I was in a few sessions before I actually got a chance to meet her. And I don't know how to have a conversation with her. She has a glow around her.
I'm glad you said that. I'm so glad you said that, because I was telling one of her dancers that I interviewed in the past that, like, I feel like she just has this extra special button that no other one has on the planet. So I'm glad that you said
that. I didn't see her walk. I think she was, like, levitating. You know what I mean? I didn't see her legs move. You know what I mean? So.
And what is she like? What is she like in the studio to work with? Like, what kind of a cat is she in there?
Man, she is amazing. Like, she just, I don't know, just... she's a star. You can't, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to explain. It's just, but she's just, I don't know, just an infectious star.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, of course she controls the room, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And she's very down to earth. You know what I mean? You can have a regular conversation with her, you know, if you get out of the head that you're talking to Janet Jackson, you know what I mean? But since I couldn't, I couldn't have a regular conversation with her, but
I hear she's a lady that knows what she wants. So when you're producing tracks, like, what is she telling you?
Yeah, she knows exactly what she wants, and she, it just takes seconds for her to get what it is. And sometimes, my approach on some of those tracks, I had to go after it a few times because, it's not necessarily what her cup of tea was.
Mm-hmm.
But certain things she just hear, like the Damn Baby, that was crazy. She heard that immediately and she was just like, yes.
Nice.
She knew exactly that's what she wanted for her project.
Does she make you want to be better?
Oh, yeah, of course. They all do. Her, Dr. Dre, yeah, all of them do. Especially, they're icons. So,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It always inspires you to just try to reach a higher plateau.
Now, a lot of Janet's fans are going to be listening to this interview because I'm very fortunate that a lot of them follow my show, which I appreciate very much. And in the last...
That is all right.
And so they're going to embrace you. Trust me, you're going to be their new favorite flavor. That's for sure. Now, speaking of the album, I'm so grateful to have these fans that follow, these Janet fans that follow the show. Oftentimes I see their messages. They'll send me messages, or I see them on Facebook and other social media where, especially in the last couple of days since the album's dropped, that they've said, a lot of the songs have moved them to tears. What do you want them to know about Janet, the artist, who by all accounts, is very aware of her fans, very aware of their wants and their needs, because it really feels like Janet put all of her heart and soul and love for her fans into this new CD.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's what she's doing it for. That's what she's doing the tour for. It's not for her. You know what I mean? The cool thing about it is you can just tell from the content of her music you know, the things that she talks about, you know what I mean? Like, it's all for the fans. It's all for the fans to spread out the whole content of what she's talking about. She wants to get a certain message out, and she wants the fans to help to get the message out. And that's who it's for.
Now, so many people feel like Janet is unstoppable when she works with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. It's like, you know, this cosmic connection going on. What did you take away from being around the three of them and producing music together?
That I'll never be Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
We just got to get you a fedora.
I know. Man, it's incredible. Like, them three together is history. You know what I mean? And it's just like, there's nothing that can compare to that, you know, that connection, that, you know, what they do together. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because, you know, of course you can tell throughout the albums and, you know, it's just a different sound. It's that feeling that you got, you know, when they done the past albums from, you know, from earlier in a career. You know what I mean? It's like, I got that same feeling. You know what I mean? And of course, you know, we loved everything that she's done from top to bottom, but, you know, I can't explain it. Just that feeling that, you know what I mean? Even when I heard, you know, the skeleton of No Sleep, and it was just her vocals and the keys, man, you still got that feeling.
Wow.
You know what I mean? It's just, and that was the most important thing. That's what they go off of, you know? And it's just like that. You can't replace that.
What is she like as a songwriter? Like, because I know you obviously got some songwriting credits as well on some of the tracks. So what was it like to collaborate in that area?
Incredible. You learn a lot. And, you know, it just, I don't know. It's just like you don't want to go back. But yeah, she's very involved in everything from top to bottom, both her, Jimmy Jam, and Terry Lewis. It's amazing that, you know, whatever comes from my brain or my ideas is accountable in that room.
And do you feel, because I wanted your opinion on this, because like when I heard the album, there's obviously so many different flavors. There's like her true R&B roots with, you know, the song like No Sleep. And then, you know, it's almost like she's channeling a little bit of Joni Mitchell in some of the other songs and even like some rock again. Do you think that this, like, for lack of a better word, is this Unbreakable album almost like the new or the 2015 version of Velvet Rope, where she was just killing it? I mean, she's killed all her albums, but it just seems like this is another really big introspective album.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, yes, I totally agree with that. It's amazing how she can, you know, fix so many genres in one album and create this one project. You don't even know what genre it is. It's like, we got to make up one with her name involved.
That's amazing. And again, for the fans that are listening right now, what do you want them to know about Janet that you think they might not know, or like just by being around her in the studio?
Believe it or not, she's shy. But then, you know, you already know, you put her on the spotlight, she's going to kill. And she just, you know, she knows how to turn it on, man. She's amazing. You know, I don't know any artist that can, you know, hold her light. You know what I mean? Like, she's queen, you know what I mean? And you can tell when you see her, but she's still humble, you know, she's still approachable. And, you know, I'm just blessed to be a part of the situation.
Does she really do a lot of takes when she's in the booth? Like, is she hard on herself? Because I remember once Jimmy Jam talking about how Ralph Tresvant was really tough on himself, like doing take after take after take. Is she like that, or does she nail it in like three?
Man, you know, when she was in the booth, we all left. I was downstairs and I heard her, but like, she seemed like she was just knocking them vocals out. And she was like no hitter quitter with it. Like, you know what I mean? They'll say, we getting ready to go ahead and record this song, and like less than an hour, they're back downstairs. They ain't already finished it. They're eating. You know what I mean?
A lot of fans,
it don't seem like she.
Go ahead.
Don't seem like she was going in like that.
No, I'm sure not. And a lot of her fans, I think, want to know, did you actually see her play like an instrument? Because I think we know she plays a bit of like keyboards. Does she mess around with that stuff?
I'm sure she does, because they had all the keyboards out and everything was out, but I didn't personally see her do that.
Now, before I let you go, you have to tell us what's up for you next, because you are all over the place. You're an amazing producer. You, like we said, you've worked with Rihanna, now Janet, Dre. Where can you go from here?
I know. I'm still trying to figure that out. there's a few things that's going on that I'm excited about. I can't really speak about it, but
okay.
I'm excited to just keep going and just being strong. And man, I learned a lot from both Janet Jackson and Dr. Dre, and I can't wait to take all these experiences and all these things and put it out to the next project. This, things are going to get better, bigger, and stronger. It's going to be crazy.
You got to
promise. We're just beginning, people.
And you got to promise you're going to do some EDM stuff, because I feel like you'll kill it in that too.
Yo, I got to figure this out, because I'm up here listening to stuff and I'm trying to figure out how I can mix that with just like some crazy stuff. Like stuff, it's just, you know, whatever I can create that you have never heard before, that's what I'm all for. But then you'll love immediately.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
What I mean? Like, I'm trying to kill them. So we here, you know what I mean? I'm just excited.
That's great. Well, we love you. And on behalf of the Janet fans, they really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us, because I know they're so excited about this new album, and knowing that we've spoken to someone who had a big hand in it, it's amazing. So on behalf of the Janet fans, thank you so much.
I appreciate their weight. I appreciate their ears, and I appreciate them just spreading the Janet word. Man, just thank you. Thank you. I appreciate being a part of this whole situation. So
and you promise
going. Let's keep her at number one.
That's what we're going to do. And you promise you come back on the show again, because we'd love to have you back on.
I promise. You got my word. I'm back.
Awesome. That is music producer, songwriter Dem Joints. Again, make sure to follow him on Twitter at Dem Joints, and the same thing on Instagram at Dem Joints.
Yeah, this is Dem Joints, and we is about to bump Damn Baby from Janet Jackson on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Damn baby, baby.
I gotta hear me.
Damn baby, baby.
Damn.
Damn.
You sing my songs, strong in my gun, not good for my body. I change it up, sitting up like that in your own body. My lane's been struck, I've never been afraid to switch on down on me. And you show me love by being a bitch, you know. I can turn it back, I'm gonna shake the room, bang bang it on the minute. You gotta get up off that great line. Get up on it, tell you what you can't do. Shut that down all about it. And I guarantee that for me. In a cafe, it's all about love. And then we can never let words get in the way. Giving it up, it's never what you say, it's saying what you do. Show me love, just keep the conversation going.
What you love? wish me being happy could make you so sad. Not fun.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show. Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
We really appreciate you spending time with us on the show this week, and a big shout out to our guests, Nikki Pantenberg and Dem Joints. Here is your thought-provoking quote of the week, this time coming from Everett Dirksen. There is no force so powerful as an idea whose time has come. We'd love for you to follow us on all of our social media, on Twitter, at K Alexander Show, on Facebook, Kelly Alexander Show, on Instagram, at Kelly Alexander Show, and of course, our YouTube channel, which features all of our interviews, youtube.com/Kelly Alexander Show. Have an excellent week. You and I'll chat soon.